Hello? Hello?
Hello, mate.
You alright?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Right, so as you can hear, got another guest. I've got Jack Stonemason, absolute MMA legend in the sport. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, you.
Not too bad. Enjoying the sun.
Yeah. Just on my way to on my way to training now. I'm not sure if anyone's actually going to be there, to be fair. But
well, I've seen a few people on social media and stuff. People like Stu Pike, he put it up, who trains at Dragon's Lair, and he put it up on Facebook saying, "Oh, is anyone going to the gym? Like, is there any point turning up?"
Yeah.
A few people commented and they were like, "Just take the day off."
Yeah, because I've had a good day actually. Like, been out for lunch with the missus. We just come back from went out for a run in the country, but. Just gonna go. I can't really do too much training at the moment, but I'm going to coach because we've got some guys fighting soon. So I'm hoping they're going to turn up because I just driven 45 minutes from my house to the gym. So hopefully they're going to be there.
Hopefully it's not a trip wasted.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So I'll fire away with these questions then, seeing as you're on your way to training. Obviously, cool. I've had people ask me on social media, ask a few questions and stuff. First one, someone said to me, once I said I was having a chat with you, am I just having a chat with you or am I having a chat with a gash on your eye as well?
Healed up, you know, like I've been healing like Wolverine, I think, because it's, you can barely see it now.
It did go viral and obviously now it's been labelled the most gruesome cut in MMA. It was rather nasty.
It was a pretty nasty cut.
Yeah, it didn't look too bad.
Yeah, it seems to be all right.
Was it John or Maguire or Luke Barnett posted a picture? It looked like it wasn't bruising or swelling too much.
Because what it was like where he caught me, it was like bone on bone, you know, like so it was just right on the, you know, the eye socket kind of thing, and where he hit me with the knee, it just split. And so that's why it's quite a big gash. Just split all, like where the bone was connected, basically. So it's just right on the eyebrows.
Yeah,
you can't
just
really
like
see
the actual eyebrow line.
But yeah, so pretty frustrating.
Yeah. So obviously you wanted to carry on.
Exactly.
Was it your reaction from your corner and stuff? Did you realise how bad it was, or was it like the reaction from your corner and stuff?
No, I did not. Well, so Mark. Like Goddard, when during the, you know, when he was when he stopped the fight, it was like I was, you know, he was like Jack, and I was like, what are you doing? I think I said to Mike, what are you doing? And he was like, he said, your face, it's, you know, it's open. I was like, oh fucking hell. And then John and Luke come in and they said, no, stop, it's in a bad way. But clearly I wanted to carry on and I wasn't hurt, you know, if you know what I mean. Like, obviously my face was open, but in terms of like my brain and stuff like that, I was ready to go, you know. Obviously the knee, you know, rocks me a little, but you know, I was still there and still protecting myself, and I was just trying to get back into the fight. Do you know what I mean? Like When you get hit with something like that, you know, like they, you know, the opponent tries to pour it on, and I just need to get my feet back and get back into the fight. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I was trying to do. But obviously, clearly, like Mark said, you know, I think he even tweeted about it. You know, as soon as he saw it was the first knee that he landed, just split my face. And it was a foregone conclusion at that point anyway.
Well,
so
afterwards, you were up in spirits about it anyway. Yeah. And obviously, the wind didn't go your way. But I seen your tweet saying that you should learn how to do some knee defense, which is all good spirits, really, considering.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. The last, my last three fights, I've lost three in the trot now. Every single one of them has been by knee. So, you know, I've got a... it was in jest the tweet, but in all seriousness, I seriously got to work on some knee defense because that seems to be my Achilles heel. So
yeah,
I'm going to have to do something about it.
Obviously, yeah, like you said, it is what it is. And obviously you've had three losses now with knees. You did put the tweet up, all in good spirits, but it's something, you know, that you need to look into in your game plan.
Yeah, and this is the thing, I'll be honest, like this fight, I had no intention of attempting a takedown, at least in the first round. And I think, like, really early on, I think, like, we're in an exchange or something, and I dropped for a take, and I stopped myself from going to for the take. I think, like, I sort of pulled out from it because I was thinking, you know, I was thinking, get back to the game plan. But I think after all these fights, like instinctually, I seem to go for that takedown, because previously, you know, a lot of my fights, you know, that's how I won fights. I've taken people down and submitted them or hit them or, you know, finished them with a ground and pound. And this fight, I was intentionally trying to keep it standing. When he threw the spinning back kick, I think it hit my hand or something. It didn't hit my face or anything. I stepped back, and I was sort of I think I stood still for a couple of, you know, a split second or something. He launched himself with that flying knee. I should have just kept my head up, circled out, and it would have been no issue. But I didn't. Instinctually, I went and grabbed the fucking leg, and that's when I ate the knee that caused all the damage. So I've got to do something about it, because I can't be doing that.
Most of the guys that I've spoke to, they say even when you do get the win, there is negatives to take. Well, not negatives, but stuff that you don't like about what you do in your game plan. So you're never going to have a flawless performance where you go in there and you do everything perfect and stuff. And I presume it's the same when you lose. You still find things like a slight little mistake or anything like that that you could change and look into. And obviously, like you said, yours is knees at the minute.
I'll be honest, like I felt within the first whatever it was, minute and a half, the fight was going exactly how I had planned. You know, the game plan was going perfectly. He was throwing all the shots that I was expecting him to throw, like the low kicks and the front kicks, all that sort of stuff. And I felt really confident. I was like, this is exactly what I'm expecting. And I made a grave error in judgment and went away from my game plan for that split second, and it caused all the damage, you know. So it's tough, you know. You get to a good level in MMA, you know, a single mistake can cost you the fight. So I've just got to the next couple of fights, I've got to get back to it and make sure that I, you know, put in a good performance. Yeah,
that was one of the questions. Now you're in your recovery and stuff like that. Based on your fight career, what's next for you? What's the next step once you've finished your recovery and stuff?
I'm going to go to 50, which is two fights, and then I'm retiring. Yeah, so I'm going to do two more fights, hopefully put in some really good performances, and then I'm
just
with
fighting, I hope, because you've got a lot on the table.
I've got lots of irons in the fire, and I've got lots of things going on, but with me competing, two more and then
good
I'm done.
Stuff, obviously, you said you've got a lot of fighters in the iron. One of them's what I want to talk to you about. So obviously, you're involved massively in the academy, the Southeast Academy. And Grassroots MMA, which is obviously amazing for the sport of MMA and the UK MMA. Is it always something you wanted to get into, like an organization of like Grassroots MMA and stuff like that, to have such an impact and such an input onto the growing of the sport in the UK?
I'll be honest, no. I sort of just fell into it. Where I was sort of coaching at BKK, we, you know, we're building up a team of fighters. And we had some bad experiences, you know, like going to different shows, especially some of the local shows in the area. Like they were really poor, you know. There was no medical procedures, you know. You get pullouts all the time, which happens in MMA, but you know, there were some really bad mismatches, and I just saw some horrible stuff. So I was thinking, you know, as with a lot of things in life, to be honest, like, I think, you know, if you want something done properly, you've got to do it yourself.
So you see ways it could be done better, and that's, thought you could help improve it.
Yeah, and exactly. And you know, after seeing, you know, like, I think everyone that's ever fought on the Cage Warriors show will tell you it's the best show in terms of looking after people in the world. You know, everything is done really well backstage, and all the fighters are very well looked after, you know, from, you know, just like silly things, you know, like when you arrive at the hotel on the Thursday and you got the weigh-in on the Friday, stuff like having scales available, you know, the official scales available to check your weight, you know, so that you do make weight, you know, and there's no like, you know, there's, you know, you're not weighing yourself on another set of scales, which are a little bit different to the official scales. And, you know, when you cut quite a bit of weight, it's quite difficult to manage that if you haven't got the official scales there. Like, just little things like that. And yeah, just the reason why, you know, I wanted to do it myself was just wanted to make sure that all the guys that were fighting at my gym, from my gym, were being looked after, and they got, you know, they got looked after backstage, and the same really for all the guys fighting on the show. You know, we try and look after them as much as possible, and give them, you know, the ability to behave professionally themselves, to be honest. You know, like stuff like the scales, and, you know, so everything really. Give them all the information.
Like a professional event, you want the fighters to know that it is professional. Obviously, good feedback obviously helps boost the shows and stuff like that. But if you go to a shitty event, like you said, and it's not doing this properly and it's not doing that properly and loads of mismatches, people aren't going to want to go back to it. Whereas if you're doing the promotion yourself and you're making sure that all these little tweaks and stuff like that are getting done properly, all these little things that people like are getting done properly and stuff, people are going to want to fight on your shows. They're going to look forward to it, obviously. They're going to promote it, which is even better for guys like yourself and for the fighters, because more people are going to watch it. And they're going to want to come to it and stuff like that, which obviously could lead to bigger events and stuff. So it's a win-win for everyone, the fighters included.
Exactly. You know, that's just what we're trying to do. You know, I think with the academy, the Cage Warriors Academy thing, you know, linking up with those guys is just going to be beneficial for all the guys fighting the show, but also UK MMA as a whole. Like we're now, you know, they're running the Grand Prix, so for all the amateur fighters. So what I think what's going to happen this year, I think it's been announced, but I'm not sure if all the details have gone out yet. But what's going to happen is that all the academies, so you've got the Irish one, you've got the Northwest, you've got Wales, and you've got the Southeast. The champions from each of those shows are going to fight. There's going to be a semi-final. So I think it's going to be Wales versus Southeast and the Northwest versus Ireland. And then the winner of those bouts is then going to fight in a big event, I think in London in December, for the unified amateur Cage Warriors title. So it's going to be pretty good. They're going to get some big exposure from it.
Not much has been announced from it, but there's 28 fighters or something like that. I think it was, what, five or six different weight categories that it's going to be in as well. So it's not just one.
Yeah. No, it's going to be, it's going to be awesome. A lot, you know, it's going to be exciting for all the guys involved.
Yeah, it's obviously, I was going to ask, like the last one in Colchester, I was actually at the event. You stood a couple of feet away from me and I didn't realise it was you.
Yeah.
But you had obviously the 8-man tournament, which a massive success. Is there any more planned that happening? Obviously, because that was not so much the main attraction, but it was.
I mean,
was there, and obviously, then obviously the winner Jack Eglin, well, the winner whoever it was, got put down as the best amateur flyweight in the UK, which is massive for something for obviously what people would see as just an academy. It's massive, obviously, because it's the whole of the UK, not just in one academy. There's
exactly. Because this is the thing. I'm not sure if we'll do it again. Like, well, we will do it again, but not. We won't do it every show because it was expensive to put on. Obviously, we got guys from all over the UK. You know, obviously, we pay their travel expenses, pay the hotels, you know, all that sort of stuff. We put up some pretty big prize money for the tournament winner. And it was expensive to put on. And I don't know, like, these guys, every single guy that fought in the show was, in the tournament was extremely professional. It's, you know, we managed to pull it off, but I think the tournament situation is very difficult to pull off and make a success. So I wouldn't want to have to do it every time, but it was, as a one-off, you know, we pulled out all the stops to make it happen. And it was amazing. You know, it was brilliant. The fights were brilliant. All the guys that competed in the tournament were extremely professional, did a great job. And Eglin came out on top and looked fantastic in the tournament. So yeah, big success, but we might not do it. We might maybe do one a year, different weight division, something like that.
It was my first event actually going to, and just as I'd got in and I just sat down, the first fight was happening between Jack Temple and literally sat down. Text my missus, like, I'll text you when this is finished. Says, and literally text her 30 seconds later saying, oh, that's finished. She was like, what? I said, yeah, it was a great way to start the show with an 18-second walk-off knockout.
That was a cracking knockout as well, you know. Temple's a bad man, and that was great. It sort of set the scene for the night because it was some fantastic fights all night, really.
But yeah, so obviously I spoke to Corey McKenna. You're a coach and a manager. She can't say enough about you for your praise, helping obviously with training, being a coach and dealing with all our fights and something like that. Someone has come through the academy as well, which obviously must be like a proud father moment sort of thing for you, obviously, to where she is now, getting ready for a second pro MMA fight, coming through the academy and being a title holder twice in the academy to get into the pro ranks now and being the top of the game at the pros.
She walked into the gym at 13 and she's been a consummate professional ever, you know, from day one. You know, she gives every discipline, you know, whether it's the mental coaching, the game planning, the boxing, the Thai boxing, the jiu-jitsu, all of that sort of stuff. She gives it everything detailed attention, and that's why she is where she is. She's 18. She's now over at Team Alpha Male. They've asked her to move out there, like, full time. She's gonna be, she's gonna be UFC champ, 100%. She's gonna be a superstar. But that's down to all her hard work. She's never missed a session from what I've known, you know, from what I've known. She lives and breathes MMA. That's her sole purpose. I think in her GCSE, she got straight A stars. Had the world at her feet, and she gave it all up and just to focus on MMA.
Yeah, she was out in the States, and she just finished over at Alpha Male and stuff like that. And for me, I was like, I see it on social media that she was training with guys like Cody Garbrandt and Sage Northcutt. And I said to her, I was like, was that quite good and stuff like that? She was like, I'm not really getting like fangirly sort of thing. I was like, I'd be like a kid in a sweet shop. Like, and obviously that's the mentality that she's got to have. Like,
it's the same.
She's not there to get autographs and stuff like that, or to brag that she's training with these guys. She's got to try and get into the level that she is, obviously, with guys like yourself. And then obviously the other gyms that she's going to as well. She's got to be on point with what she's already built into bigger.
Yeah. She, it's the same with Arnold, you know, like Arnold went out to TriStar, to make sure that he gets the full-time training in, and sort of Corey's followed suit. But both of those guys, you know, you can imagine, like, Arnold's like on the mat with GSP every day, you know, all that sort of thing. GSP's like, oh, do you want to come around my house? Well, you never see Arnold posting up a picture with, you know, with GSP being a fanboy. You know, that's not because he's not a fanboy. He is. But those guys are like, you know, they've got their idols, but they want to be there. They want to be there too. So they're putting in the work to make sure they're there. And they don't want to be, they don't want to be seen as those fanboys. They want to get their respect in the gym, you know, by being a good training partner and helping them out and absorbing the knowledge from those, you know, those world champions as well. So
that's essentially what they're there for. Obviously, both of those guys. Main priority is to improve their game, but they're obviously not just there to go there as a punching bag. They're there to try and bring other stuff to the table that these other guys won't have. And obviously, it's the same when obviously people come to your gym. If they come from a different gym, they want to come because you've got a better outlook on or better take on one side of MMA to what someone else has, or you can give them a bit of better advice than what someone else can. It's to improve everyone's game, but then obviously they might come to your gym and have something that you might not have known, so to speak.
Exactly. You can learn from it like this. That's it. You can learn from everyone. There's always something that someone's better at you than that. Sorry, better at than you. And yeah, like that's the way to look at it. You know, you gotta be learning from everyone and you know, don't go into it with a closed mind. Yeah, it's you know, it's an amazing sport. You know, I was just over in Italy at the weekend. You know, didn't have a great result with John, but you know, had some great experiences. And we were talking about it on, you know, on the way back. It's just like you would, you know, without being involved in MMA, you would never experience this type of thing. You know, you never make the friends that you make. You wouldn't see the world like you see it, and just have all those mad experiences that we've managed to have.
That's why we love this sport.
So, yeah, it's cool.
Right, so you've been a pro for 13 years, yeah? You're a pioneer of UK MMA and in Europe and stuff like that. And you're building on your legacy and stuff. And with everything with the academies, the training, the managing and stuff like that, and obviously your own fighting career, what do you want to be remembered for at the end of it?
Yeah. I don't know, you know? Like, I just want to be... I don't know, just be remembered for being me, you know, I love the sport, and you know, that's what I just want to give a contribution to the sport, which has given me so much, you know. So give, you know, just want to give back to it and help the sport grow, you know. Like, I don't know if I'm in it for like a, you know, to get like recognition as one of the best fighters or whatever. But you know, I'm a solid guy, I'm a tough guy, but I'm not the best fighter in the world, and I'm not going to be, because I'm going to be retired soon. And but you know, I definitely want to give back to the sport, and where I haven't been, you know, one of the best fighters, I definitely want to be one of the best coaches out there, and I think I can be. So you know, that's really going to be my, you know, my next goal once I'm retired. So
I asked on social media if anyone had any questions, and I think I know, you know, these guys, Slaphead and Giraffe. They said they've got no questions.
Yeah.
They just want to thank you for being you and that you're a great guy.
Oh, they're a top bunch of lads as well. And they always give us loads of support, and all of my team, like Luke and John and everyone. It's they're top guys.
Said, after looking on your Instagram, this is where I found it out from this morning. How was your hangover?
it was. I didn't actually have one in the end, but I know we were playing. I was around one of my friends last night. We were playing beer pong, and the girls got pretty drunk. But me and my mate, we weren't too bad, because we actually didn't lose at beer pong. So it was all right.
I've got a few other questions from social media. You've seen these. What's the hardest part of coaching fighters?
The hardest part is putting, this doesn't happen to everyone, you know. I think it's a lot of things, you know, same in life, but you put
all of your time, and you know, well, not all your time, but a lot of your time into helping some of these guys improve. And one of the most heartbreaking things is, you know, you put all this time into helping them get ready for a fight and, you know, get the best result they can. And then they'll do their fight and then they won't show up to the gym for 6 months or whatever. And they don't really give back. So that's a heartbreaking thing when in coaching. But then on the other hand, one of the brilliant things is that there are some guys, you know, that are there through thick and thin, you know, that they might have a bad.
Hello.
Hello, mate.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Finally got back. Like I said, you're a busy guy.
Yeah, sorry, but I had to obviously coach class.
That's fine. Yeah, so I've only got a few more questions, then we'll do shout-outs and stuff like that. There's another one off social media. It's from one of my followers, Pete.
Yeah.
Where's it gone? What are the biggest changes you've seen with regards to nutrition towards fighters?
I just say, you like, fighters are probably becoming just more professional and, you know, they're taking an interest in the, you know, nutrition, like, a lot more now, you know, like, rather than just everyone's eating for performance, so they're trying, you know, lots of people are going vegan and all that shit, but, you know, going, like, plant-based, you know, nutrition and stuff like that. But I think it sort of just goes with, like, you know, like, a lot of people listen to the Joe Rogan podcast, so there's lots of fashion things, you know, like the, you know, the carnivore diet and like the keto and all that shit. But I think lots of people are trying all that sort of stuff, and there's lots more vegan fighters now. But I'd say the biggest change is just like people are hiring nutritionists and they're eating real food and you know, they get better performances with it, and you know, they're making weight easier. So I know that on this in my last weight cut, you know, like I have to cut like considerable amount of weight, and I went from 95 kilos to 77 in 5 weeks, and I did it with little problem, to be honest. I used a guy called Ollie Matthews who runs Athlete Upgrade, and yeah, I felt fantastic throughout the training camp, and I made weight easy. You know?
Do you normally find weight cutting? Obviously, I've seen that you drop from middleweight to welterweight. Do you find it hard to drop weight so much, or to?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You know, I've I struggle to make, you know, to make welterweight, if I'm honest, and that's probably because I didn't. I was doing it myself. I was doing lots of research, and I was, you know, following different plans, stuff like that. But ever since, like, I hooked up with Ollie Matthews, like, I've really been able to make it easily. And like, you know, before, like, I've done weight cuts, and I've had to drop 13 kilos in the 24 hours from the Thursday to the Friday. I've had some horrific weight cuts where I've gone deaf and I've lost my vision. But I've still made weight, you know, so, this last one, you know, like I've done from starting, like 95 kilos. I never used to walk around that heavy, but, I dropped it relatively easily. You know, don't get me wrong, it was still a struggle, but the actual water cut, I did 9 kilos in the end, which is nice, and it, you know, it just took, I did it by just doing a long run, a few sauna sessions, some baths, and then I finished off with the sauna, and I made it easy. I didn't actually feel that dehydrated, and I didn't lose my vision. I wasn't that dry, you know, so I felt great, so I definitely recommend him in the future.
Yeah, so
and that's what that's what I'd say to all the young athletes out there, is don't try and do it yourself. Seek professional help from an experienced nutritionist that knows exactly what he's doing and knows, you know, has worked with MMA fighters before and had good results.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. You got any advice for people that are, obviously, people don't walk around with the weight that they fight at. So any advice for people that maybe if they have to cut a couple of kilos or a bit more, like you said, you cut 9 kilos. So any stable advice, like obviously finding a professional. But for someone that's, say like the amateurs, so like the guys coming through the academy that might not be able to afford some of the top guys, will mainly most nutritionists be similar if they've worked with MMA fighters before?
Yeah, I mean, they're not that expensive, honestly. Like, you know, you're talking, you know, sort of below 200 quid for a camp, which, although, like, for me, although it is a lot of money, it's 100% worth it. You know, when you're confident you're going to hit that weight on the scales,
And you know you're going to be fighting fit and healthy doing it as well. And like you said, you're going to be making weight. So it is money well spent. It's a good investment, so to speak.
It is. But you know, if you can't afford that, then, you know, there's, you know, looking at like something like the Dolce diet, 3 weeks to shredded, something like that. That's perfect as well. You know, pretty much, you know, that. It's not fucking rocket science. Eat some salads, and you're gonna make weight. If you eat shit and you eat too much, you're gonna be too heavy. If you eat earth-grown foods, you know, like salads, vegetables, lean meats, you can't really go wrong with that. Do you know what
I mean? Like you're saying, a lot of fighters go vegan. Obviously, you've got Sean O'Malley, who's a full vegan. People like, obviously, Brad Scott, he was telling me he goes to about 85% vegan during a training camp as well, just to obviously help with the weight cut. So, yeah. You know, obviously, I mean, an easier way is for people just to research into that, even if they just do it for the training camp. Obviously, there's no gain without pain, basically, is what they say. So obviously a few sacrifices during a training camp to know you're fit and healthy and gonna make weight, it's not much to sacrifice a burger for a salad.
Well, exactly. And you know, you have to be strict with it, and you have to keep your portion size down, which is what I struggle with, you know, like but yeah, like pretty much, you know, you have like 200 grams of protein with a meal, you know, whether it's like a lean fish or lean chicken, some green vegetables, and you're pretty much there. You know, every now and again you have a few carbs to, you know, to top up your glycogen, and yeah, that's about it, really.
Good stuff. So another question I've been asked, do you see MMA growing more at the rate it is, obviously with fans coming in, stuff like that? It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger every event that's going, not just in the UK, but in Europe and all across the world, obviously, with events like the UFC, obviously holding super fights, Cage Warriors going to Sweden, stuff like that. And then, like you said, we're going all the way down to the academies with the Grand Prix and all the titles and stuff, and having the massive Grand Prix at the end of it. Do you see it still growing the way it is, as fast-paced, or slowing down
a little
bit?
It's definitely going to get bigger and bigger. Like, this is... you know, one of the biggest changes I've seen, I work for a financial firm in the city, and like I've walked through the kitchen, and I've heard groups of people talking about, oh, what did he think of the Khabib fight at the weekend? Like, not talking to me, but like talking between themselves, you know, like, and you 5 years ago you never get people, you know, just like the layman, just talking about that sort of thing, like, you know, just on a coffee break or something, you know. So it's getting bigger. It's definitely getting bigger. You know, a lot of people are paying a lot more attention to it. When I went into work this week, you know, after that big cut, a lot of people had watched it, had seen it, you know, like, I didn't make a big thing of it at work in terms of like telling them I was fighting, but loads of people had watched it and heard about it and think, you know, just things like that. Like the sport's getting bigger and bigger, and the general public are becoming more interested in it. So the more people become interested in it, the bigger it's going to get. It's still like MMA is still not on the same level. You know, when you get a big boxing fight like Joshua fight, stuff like that, they sell out stadiums like literally within about, you know, 15 minutes of tickets going on sale. So, and the Hay Bellew fight this weekend, you know, tons of people at work were talking about it. So it's not quite there yet in terms of MMA. Like, but
I think if the UFC or other organizations took out stadiums like the one where the Bellew fight is, because obviously UFC Liverpool sold out in, I think it was about 8 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's only at the Echo Arena. And Cage Warriors sold out as well in Liverpool at the Echo Arena. I mean, yeah, they're not massive, massive like stadiums to hold these events in, but they're still selling out in pretty like record quick time sort of thing. I think this UFC event in Liverpool sold out quicker than what UFC London did.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely down to like who they're booking on the card, you know, like Darren Till, especially Liverpool, like the Scousers love fighting and they'll get behind, you know, their fighters, you know, all the time. So it's a genius idea that going to Liverpool and getting Darren Till in the main event. So
yeah, and the same with Cage Warriors, obviously getting Paddy Pimblett as well.
Exactly.
It's
you're
going to get your local fight. Guys to headline.
Yeah. But, like, in terms, it's not quite there in terms of, boxing. But I think, you know, 10 years, it definitely could be, especially if you get some big names, like, you know, similar to Conor, you know, we get some big names from the UK, you know, like, you know, headlining these events. You know, hopefully it will just get bigger and bigger.
Yeah, so hopefully in the UK, people like Darren Till, and obviously there's loads more UK prospects coming up, obviously. Paddy Pimblett, you've got Nad Nirimani, who's fighting out of the UK, Brendan Lochting, everyone like that. So it's looking good for future MMA.
I think for me, like Arnold, you know, Arnold's 3-0 now in the UFC. I think he's going to make a big statement in Liverpool as well. I think he's definitely a prospect to watch out for. He's gonna have a big career in the UFC, and I think he hasn't. I mean, the last year or so, he hasn't really been given the opportunity to show, you know, where he's at and get his personality out there. But I think that's gonna happen this year.
It's good stuff. There's lots to look forward to in the sport.
Yeah.
So, right. So we don't get disconnected or anything like that. And I know you're currently on your way home. Well, I'll let you get back to focusing on driving. Anyone you want to shout out, sponsors, training partners, or anything like that?
You know, so all the guys that, you know, I train with BKK, we've got some top guys. So thank you to everyone for all their support and for, you know, for all their help in training, and good luck to all the guys fighting. But I'd like to give a big thank you to Q&T Sports Nutrition, who have been with me for over a decade now, and they give me support through thick and thin, you know, and I've been there since day one.
I actually won a competition with them once.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I got a sports bag and loads of supplements and stuff, like protein shakes and gels and stuff like that. The gels weren't very nice, but that was just the texture, not the actual taste.
they're the best, you know, like, I can't say... two good things about, you know, any better things about them. They're brilliant. And a shout out to Funky Gums as well, who sought me out. Like, they've been with me for a long time, and they sought me out a wicked mouthpiece for this fight, last week, and I've still got my teeth. So thank you very much, Funky Gums.
So, thank you for your time. Absolute honour speaking to you, and you taking your time out to speak to you. I'm going to give a shout out to Ultimate Fighting Outlet. If you go and check them out on Facebook, Twitter, they're at UFO MMA. If you order off their website and you use promo code MonstarsMMA, you get 10% off your order.
first company to support me with my podcast. So I'm very happy. And my friend Pete, he does conservatory maintenance. This is mainly just for more local people that are listening. Yeah, go and check him out. He does garden clear-ups, conservatory cleaning, repairs, everything like that. So go and check him out on Facebook at Pete's Maintenance. So, yeah, again, thank you for your time. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Thanks a lot, mate.
And yeah, it's a pleasure talking to you.
You too, mate. Thanks for being so patient with me today as well.
No worries. And I hope to see you in... are you going to be at the next one in Colchester in September?
Yeah, I'll be there. Of course, I'll be there.
We'll have to have a meet up and chat as well. I've booked my hotel and my train tickets already, so...
Awesome.
So, yeah, thank you very much.
Cheers, mate.
Take it easy.
Thanks. Bye. See you.